Well, Vince, good to see you, man. Thanks for all your hard work back there. I love it. It's beautiful. You're doing an awesome job, man. Randy, good to see you again. Good to see you again. David, good to see you again. Jacinda, don't hide. You can't hide. Good to see you again. Yeah, I know how you guys hide. It's kind of like, I know that. So, let me just start this way. Going to be a fairly simple message this morning. Part of it will be preaching to the choir. You guys are awesome at what I'm going to talk about this morning. And then the second half, we'll get a little bit deeper, tougher. So, if you don't know me by now, you know that I am a bivocational pastor, right? I have a full-time job during the day, full-time job during the evening here. So you're the love. You're my passion, okay? I love what I do for a living, but, I mean, my heart beats the gospel, right? It beats ministry. So, Friday morning, Friday is supposed to be like Friday before a three-day weekend, right? That's like, all right, you know, that's like set up for the weekend. So, I walk into the shop Friday morning to see three or four people in the office with mops in their hand, water about that deep on the floor, stinks. What happened? Well, the sewer drain going to the main city line plugged up somehow, and so the water is backed up. No restrooms. My office, the whole office area stinks. Of course, you can't find a plumber the day before a holiday. Half of them are going out of town themselves. The other half trying to get done. I'm like, great. So, about 9 o'clock, my son comes in the office, my partner. Hey, the main blower bearing went down. We have to send everybody home. We got orders to do Tuesday. It's holiday weekend. Everything's backed up. Yeah. Send most of them home. What next? So, Lord, don't you know that this is a holiday weekend? We have a funeral tomorrow, too, and a service on Sunday. And so, it is what it is, right? So you keep going. I get up yesterday morning before the funeral and go into work and have to get the plumbers. Finally got a plumber come in, and he's coming in Saturday morning. And so I get them going and show them around, and then we go to a funeral. And so here we are today. We went to the funeral, then we went to Carolyn's open house. Then we went back to work because we had to shut everything up. The plumber did get that fixed, amen. And so we cleaned the floor and ready to go today. We're ready to go. Life of a bivocational pastor. But here's what I want you to know. That there would have been a day, if I was just sitting there and not here, I would have passed on that funeral as an attender. And I probably would have passed on this morning. And when I told you my story, you'd have understood. You'd go, man, I get it. But the way it works out, I couldn't pass. And the truth of the matter is that being together with you guys in the funeral and today was the energy the Lord gave me to keep going. You guys, I love this family. And I am so sorry for what we had to do yesterday. But you guys are my energy and my love. And it was refreshing for us after all that to come together with you. And we went home feeling full of love and the Spirit because of you. And that's how the church should work. On my own, if I was just a lay person, I'd have bailed. Can't make the funeral. Can't make church. Sorry, I'm home. I'm resting. It's been tragedy. But God's moved me into a place I can't bail anymore. And it's for my good, because we need each other. We need this family in a huge, huge way. And we're going to learn that as we go forward in this series that we're doing called Family Devotions. It's a good thing. You guys were my energy. You were my love and my passion. You kept me going. My tank's on an eighth, right now, and I should be refilling. And you guys are refilling me. This, you guys, your love, your hugs, you're gonna fill my tank. The Lord is using you to fill my tank. So it's probably not a coincidence, right, that I'm speaking on the church, the family gathered. But it's happening here in real time. So I want you to know that. The other great thing about having a bivocational pastor that blunders is that you do know I can relate to what you're going through, right? You do know, because I know some of you have had terrible days and terrible weeks. I know what this family's been going through. They're under it. They're making me look like I'm carrying a light load, okay? We just buried Ariel's 45-year-old dad yesterday. So this family's been under it. Some of you've been under it. You've had some rough times. So I'm not too far off to understanding how heavy the load can be sometimes. But we need each other. So here's where we're at, Acts chapter 2, verse 42. Let me read these four or five verses again, and I'll show you which one we're at today. Acts chapter 2, verse 42, they devoted themselves, that's key, they devoted themselves, they're devoted to this. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, we have that, we've been there. They devoted themselves to this, and the fellowship, we talked about that last week, the togetherness, and to the breaking of bread and the prayers. In awe came upon every soul. Many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common, and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. So today we have come to, they devoted themselves to the breaking of bread. They devoted themselves to that. They are devoted to the breaking of bread. That sounds kind of simple. Why would you devote yourself to eating? Well, because we love to eat, number one. But number two, they devoted themselves to this. And it says in verse 46 that they were attending the temple together. So church is important, if you want to call it that. Church is important. We go to church. And they're devoted also to breaking bread in their homes. And they received their food with glad to get it, and generous, and glad to give it back out, hearts, praising God and having favor. There's a little more to this than what you would just read there, and I want to fill you in just for a second here. I want to fill you in a little bit on the background of what was happening here. So this it wasn't a revival. The church was being born, and there were thousands of people. There were thousands of people coming to Christ. Are you with me? Thousands of people. And they had come in. If you read Acts chapter 2, they had come in from other nations, and they were coming in from the villages around Jerusalem. Everybody was coming in to the Feast of Pentecost. And Peter is using this occasion, and God is using this occasion, to preach the gospel, and thousands are being saved, and thousands are being baptized, and thousands are just flocking to wherever Peter and the apostles show up. They're flooding the temple area. They're hanging out together. They're housing one another in their homes. And there is a food need. Where are we going to get food? Because a lot of these people brought in food with them. They brought in resources with them for the Feast of Pentecost. But this thing just keeps going. And now you and you and you, you have 20 people in your home, and you have 50 people at your home, and you have 50 people at your barn, and this thing just keeps going. And so people started selling them their things, and they were all in. Okay, what are we going to do? Well, I have an extra field. Barnabas sells his field. And so we're providing food. And so what happens then is there develops a food distribution. Right, they sell the stuff and they get the food, and then they have to get it out to these homes and these places to the people. Okay, well, John has 50 people in his barn. Let's take him some food. And Jerry has 50 people in his house. We got to get them some food. And so there develops a food distribution to care for all these people, and they devoted themselves to caring for one another with this food distribution. So day by day, they broke. They met in the temple, and they broke bread in their homes. And it says they received their food. The food was brought in. Here's your food for whatever time. And they received it gladly and generously. They weren't afraid to pass some of it on, if need be, to others around them. Turn in your Bible one page, maybe. Chapter 6, mine's two pages. Acts chapter 6. Terry read this passage to you this morning. In these days, the disciples, they were increasing in number, and a complaint arose from the Greek-speaking saved people against the Hebrews. So there's a little cultural thing going on here. And it said that their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. So there it is again, this daily distribution of food. And the Greeks are going, what, you guys don't like us? Why are you doing this? Because we have our widows over here. They're not getting their food. What's going on, right? So that sort of thing, still common today, complaining and distributing and that sort of thing. So the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples. And they said, look, we can't give up preaching the word of God to worry about this ministry, but we are devoted to it. We are devoted to the breaking of bread in our homes. We're devoted to this. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good report, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, and we'll appoint them to this duty. We will devote ourselves to prayer and the ministry of the word, and we'll devote this committee to the breaking of bread and the food distribution. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, and Philip, first two names given, and then these other names that we can't pronounce very well. So they set them before the apostles, and they prayed, and they put their hands on them. They commissioned them before God. And it says that the word of God continued to increase, and the number of disciples was multiplying now greatly in Jerusalem. And many of the priests became obedient to the faith. And Stephen, a man on this committee of the food meal distribution, he was full of grace and power, and he was doing great wonders and signs among the people. In Acts chapter 8, we read about Philip also on this food committee. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith in the Holy Spirit, and Philip, first two names given. So in Acts chapter 8, verse 4, it says, "Now those who were scattered, they went about preaching the word, and Philip went down to the city of Samaria and proclaimed to them the Christ. And the crowds with one accord paid attention to what was being said by Philip when they heard him, and they saw the signs that he did." So the food ministry, this food ministry is important. They're devoted to this distribution, to this ministry. And so they pick out these men who do it. And what I want you to see in this ministry of these men, and we don't know anything about the others, but I want you to see this, that Stephen, you know him as the first martyr. He was a meal man. He was a server. He was a distributor of the food. He wasn't just kitchen help. He wasn't just meal prep. Stephen was so full of grace and the Spirit and the gospel that he became the first martyr. Stephen was on this amazing committee, and he used it as an avenue to preach the gospel. So much so, the apostle Paul, previously Saul, put a stop to him. That's how important these people are. If you're here and you have any part of our Wednesday night ministry, our First Friday ministry, our funeral dinner ministry, anything like that, I want you to understand this. I want you to gather this whole thinking in your mind. We don't just do that for food. We do that because it's an avenue to show our love. It's an avenue to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. The most powerful man in the Bible at this time, according to Saul, Stephen, a man full of grace and wonders and truth, doing all this stuff and serving food and distributing food and being on this committee. He was a martyr. He was the first martyr. Man, how that must have felt to know that one of your main men on the meal committee, serving thousands and thousands of people, has now been singled out and martyred because of the power of his message and of his life and of the grace over him. I'm preaching to the choir right now because this church knows how to serve the community with food and love. This church, I am so proud of what this church has done yesterday. Man, amazing job, ladies. Amazing job. Amazing job, church. You set up, men that set up the tables Wednesday. Amazing job, those of you that came and just helped this family, love on their family, love on these people. Amazing job. Let's not forget, that's not it. That's not the end of it. That's an open door to love and the gospel that was shown here. Philip, what's he do? Paul comes in, starts beating everybody up, killing Stephen. Philip, what's he do? Leaves the food distribution, heads to Samaria to preach the gospel, to share. And that whole town was full of joy of his ministry, it says. He was a force for the gospel. He was a great man chosen to be a part of this committee of the food distribution. They were devoted to taking care of each other and taking care of others. So this food ministry that you and I have, the post kids coming Wednesday night, funerals, whatever it may be, it's just not a party. I mean, it is a party and I love it. But I want you to know how important and powerful you can be in it as we do this. It's part of what makes this small church a powerful body of people. Because you're going to get our hot dog and you're going to get the gospel along with it. It's an amazing thing. Don't you back out of this. Don't you shy away from this ministry thinking it's just food. It's just feeding these people that don't deserve it anyway. It's not that. It has nothing to do with that. This, they were devoted to this. They were devoted to feeding each other, those coming, and with generous hearts giving it back out to whoever had it. That's the easy part of this message. That's the easy part, okay? You guys do great. You get an A+. We're still growing. We're still doing it. We got more to accomplish. And I think the Lord's going to use this ministry of ours to do some amazing things. I really do. But don't you blow this ministry off. It's just something we do. It changes us and it changes them. And the gospel goes with those plates of food. Everything you do is important. Whatever you do to help in that is important. That's the easy part of the message. Turn in your Bible to the book of Revelation chapter 1. Book of Revelation chapter 1. Book of Revelation chapter 1. Have you found it? Have you found it? Now turn one page to the left to the book of Jude. See, that's easy. Well, I'm helping you out. Now turn one page to the left to the book of Jude. Now listen, this is, it gets a little more serious right here. And this is my heart and my pastor's heart for us coming out right here. Okay, just listen as I read. If you have your Bible, follow along. I'm just going to read through parts of this and then we'll stop and we'll kind of regather. Verse 5. Let me back up. Verse 3. Beloved, although I was very eager to write to you about our common salvation, I just wanted to write about the glory of the gospel and of Jesus. I found it necessary to write, appealing to you to contend for the faith, fight for the faith, that was once and for all delivered to the saints. For certain people have crept in unnoticed who long ago were designated for this condemnation, ungodly people who pervert the grace of our God into sensuality and deny our only Master and Lord Jesus Christ. I want to talk about Jesus and the glory of the cross and how beautiful and amazing He is too. But I felt like I have to write this letter to you and tell you that there are some people making their way in who, based on this word grace, have allowed and pursue and promote a sensuality and a sexuality, and they deny the Master and Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 5. Now I want to remind you, although you once fully knew it, that Jesus, who saved a people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did not believe. And the angels who did not stay within their own position of authority but left their proper dwelling, He's kept in eternal chains under gloomy darkness until the judgment of the great day. Just as Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding cities, which likewise indulged in sexual immorality and pursued unnatural desires, they serve as an example to us by undergoing a punishment of eternal fire. So He just drug Sodom and Gomorrah into our life. He just drug in Egypt and Deuteronomy and the Exodus. He just drug that right into our church and said, here, it's an example for you. This sensuality and this sexuality, this sexual immorality that these people have crept in and they're trying to push into your church. Verse 8, yet in like manner these people also relying on their dreams, they defile the flesh, they reject authority, and they blaspheme the glorious ones. Oh, I had a dream, I had a vision, and it's all good. But when the archangel Michael, contending with the devil, he was disputing about the body of Moses, he didn't even presume to pronounce a blasphemous judgment, but he said, the Lord rebuke you. But these people, they blaspheme all they don't understand. And they're destroyed by all that they, like unreasoning animals, understand instinctively. So Michael the archangel, he's not even going to rebuke the devil. He's going to say, Lord, rebuke you. But these brilliant, scholarly people creeping into your church, trying to push in this sensuality and this sexuality all under the name of grace, they don't even understand what they're talking about. And they're just real, real wide open to say, yeah, well, God said and God this and I had a vision. And they're just ready to speak right into the gospel, right into God's word, right into all this. They just know it all. Like unreasoning animals, their instincts are their understanding. Woe to them. For they walk in the way of Cain, and they've abandoned themselves for the sake of gain to Balaam's error, and they perished in Korah's rebellion. Now listen, verse 12. These are hidden reefs at your love feasts, as they feast with you without fear. Shepherds feeding themselves, waterless clouds swept along by winds, fruitless trees in late autumn, twice dead and uprooted. Wild waves of the sea casting up the foam of their own shame, wandering stars for whom the gloom of utter darkness has been reserved forever. So these people have made their way into these churches, and they now bring with them a teaching that they are so authoritative about under the guise of grace, of sensuality, and of sexual immorality of all kinds, Sodom and Gomorrah being an example. They bring it in, and they're not afraid to just blaspheme and proclaim authoritatively like they know something. And he says they are hidden reefs in your love feast. When you get together to eat, when you sit down to your love feast, they're going to sit down with you. And they're going to partake with you. And he says they will crash your boat. They will sink your boat. So he says, now, love feast. What's a love feast? Well, so here's some more background for you. So in Acts, the people began to meet in their homes, break bread, eat, food distribution, and with that, in that, they started at some point to what we would call take communion. Remember the Lord's Supper. So they would break bread in their homes, and they would be apart. They would stop, and they would break the bread and drink the cup and partake of, remember the Lord's death on the cross. Eh? So it went on, it carried on, it spread out. And this meal later on in the church, by Corinthians and our letters to Corinthians, it began to be known as the Lord's Supper. And it was really more of a formal meal. It took on the feel of a formal meal rather than in Acts where they were actually having a meal. They were really eating and then doing it. By Corinthians, as the church developed, it became more of a formal meal. So in Corinthians, he would say, look, if you're hungry, eat at home. But you're there for the Lord's Supper. And so it was kind of this formal, like a commemorative meal. And then they would take the Lord's Supper. They would take communion, what we would call the communion. All right? So it began to be that. And then it became known as this love feast. It was where the church gathered for this meal. And they all ate and they had this meal. And they remembered then the Lord's cross, the bread and the cup. Not today. You know where we're at. We have church. We don't have a meal with it per se. We can do it as often as we like. There's no mandate for us to have a meal with it. We take communion, you know, as we do today. Let me read to you a quote about this Lord's Supper. The feast, this love feast, okay, Jude's talking about, the feast was similar to a contemporary potluck dinner, we know what those are, held on the Lord's Day. Believers would gather to worship, hear the teaching of the Scripture, celebrate communion, and then share their common love in a meal. However, the love feast eventually became so corrupted and abused due to the defiling influence of false teachers that it passed from the scene. Lacking a functioning conscience, or sense of conviction and being adept hypocrites, these apostate teachers were able to feast with the believers without fear. While the love feast was designed for believers to care for one another, the false teachers were guilty of caring only for themselves. The word rendered caring is from poimeno, to shepherd, indicating the apostate teachers shepherded no one but themselves. Their only interest was their self-interest and self-gratification. They were there to promote their agenda. They were there to promote their teaching. So this love feast became so corrupted from people creeping in with this teaching of grace and sexuality, sexual immorality and sensuality and all these crazy teachings, that this love feast actually just disappeared from the scene of the early church. It just was such a mess. So you and I need to sit up and take notice, because we have feasts around here on Friday and on Wednesday and different times. We have feasts around here. It's part of what we love to do. It's part of our ministry. It's part of our outreach to the community. It's a big part of who we are, and it's a biblical thing. It really is. I hope I've shown you that, if nothing else. It's a great ministry. It's a viable ministry. And if you don't know this by now, we have had people come into our feasts. And I've had plenty sit down with me and want to share a doctrine that I don't agree with. I've had them come in here talking some weird stuff to me. I've had them in here on Sunday morning before church. I came to First Fridays and this and that, and I want to talk to you. And they come in here and they're bringing some strange doctrine of something. Do you believe? Does your church believe? Is this okay with Jesus? And I need us to know that part of this ministry that we have, and I am so amazed and proud of what we do, it's going to put us in that position, okay? It is going to open the doors to that. I want you to know that. It's an amazing ministry. It's needful. It's beautiful. It's powerful. And you are powerful. But it's going to open the doors to all kinds of things, creepy crawlies, wanting to crawl in and run this ship aground. Are you with me? So what does he say? That's the important part. Verse 17. You must remember, cornerstone, you must remember, beloved, the predictions of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. They said to you, in the last time there will be scoffers following their own ungodly passions. It's these who cause divisions. Worldly people, devoid of the Spirit. They have no Holy Spirit. But you, beloved, here we go, you, beloved, you, cornerstone, build yourselves up in your most holy faith. Pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. And have mercy. Have mercy on those who doubt. Save others by snatching them right out of the fire. Now others show mercy with fear, hating the garment stained by the flesh. If we're going to do this ministry, if we're going to feed the community, if we're going to open our doors, and we are, you're going to build yourself up in the faith. You've got to be devoted to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the prayers, if you're going to be devoted to the bread. Build yourselves up in the faith. Don't neglect yourselves. Because there's creepy crawlies going to come in here, and they want to divide us up. And we're just growing tighter and tighter and tighter. But you gotta be aware. The doors are open. The devil, the enemy, wants to come in. He's not going to come in a red suit and a pointy tail. Okay? So devote yourselves. Build yourselves in the faith. Devote yourselves to the bread, to this ministry that you have. It's amazing. Pray in the Holy Spirit. Pray in the Holy Spirit. I go 100 ways with this. Our prayer has to be more than, Father, thank you for this food. Amen. It has to be a prayer. We have to pray, opening ourselves, letting the Holy Spirit come in and fill us and talk to us and teach us based on the Word of God. This has to be an opening, a humbling, a brokenness of the Holy Spirit. Take me, fill me, teach me. This is not the prayer we pray with our kids at dinner time. That's all good. Do that. But if you want to have this ministry, build yourselves up and open yourself up and pray like you've never prayed, like your life depends on it. Kind of like we do on Wednesday night. If you don't come to our Wednesday night, I'm formally inviting you, come on Wednesday night. Because we serve a meal and we watch a short teaching video and then we pray. We get in a circle and we pray, and it's growing. The group is growing, and the dynamic, the force of it is growing. And we have seen amazing prayer answerings, and I believe that group prays in the Spirit. There's no set pattern. There's no set way. You just pray. You just let the Spirit... You like that? You just let the Spirit have you and pray. I'm old. You get what I'm saying? This is not play pray. This is beg pray. Lord, be with us. Lead us. Protect us. Hold us together. Our life depends on this. You pray quiet. Some of our people pray silently to themselves. But they'd fight for this prayer ministry. They'll sit there and pray quietly to themselves while the rest of us go on and on and on. But they don't want to quit praying. Some of us pray a lot. Some of us pray loud. Some of us pray quiet. I don't care how you pray. As long as it's sincere, you're talking to the Lord and your spirit is in it. Time out. Going to take a drink of coffee. If we're going to have this ministry, don't you dare think it's just dishing up mashed potatoes. Build yourself up in the faith. Pray with your whole heart, mind, spirit, and soul. Pour yourself out. Pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Have mercy. Have mercy on those who doubt. Be full of mercy. We know these strangers are going to come in. Have mercy on those who doubt. Save others. You know you're going to snatch some right out of the fire. Hate the garment stained by the flesh. Save the spirit. Save the soul. Hate the sin. Hate the broken lives. Verse 24, now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God our Savior through Jesus Christ our Lord be glory and majesty and dominion, authority before all time, now and forever. He is able to keep us. Devote yourself to this ministry. Pray in the Spirit. Pour your guts out to Him. He is able to protect us from whatever comes in the door. Don't be afraid of it. Don't be afraid of it. Stand up. We're mighty. We're powerful. In the Lord, in the Spirit. Let's go. Let's crash the gates of hell. Let's share. Let's snatch some out of the fire. Could the Lord use this little congregation to do that? Absolutely, He is doing it. Oh, glory be to Him who's able to protect us. Glory be to Him who will empower us to win souls, change lives. Glory be to His Word. Glory be to His Spirit, who is the power of this place. Forever and ever, we're here for Jesus Christ and His glory, and His alone. Stay in His love. Build yourself up in the faith. The food ministry, meals we do. Man, there was a guy who was killed who was the head of the food ministry in the first century church. They killed him. He was a powerful man. Be powerful in the Lord. Be powerful. It's an amazing ministry. When we started our Wednesday night, we really got serious down there. We were eating and then we were sitting in a circle and kind of talking about some scriptures. And I quoted a scripture to you from Proverbs that said, when the cattle stall is empty, the stall remains clean. But when the stall is full, the stall is also very messy. There's a mess in the stall when you have cattle in the stall. So if you and I are going to be serious about our faith, and we are and you are in it to win it, we got to understand we're going to have cattle in the stall and there's going to be crap on the floor. Right? That's what it says. And we're ready for that. Mops in hand, brooms in hand, shovels in hand, pitchforks in hand. We've got to clean the stall. Get that. I get that. Because we're going to wade into the mess. We're going to wade into the culture. We're going to wade into the community with food in hand, food ministry, and the gospel, and the truth. And we're going to stand for the truth of God's Word. We're going to stand against Sodom and Gomorrah. We're going to stand against those grumblers and malcontents that came out in the Exodus. We're going to stand for who we are, for Jesus Christ. And we're going to love and we're going to have mercy at the same time. It's not going to be an easy battle to be won. It sounds easy making hot dogs, but it's not quite that easy, is it? I need you to build yourself up in your faith. I need you to be about the apostles' teaching and the prayers. I need you to be praying with us and at home. Every chance you get, I need you to be opening your soul and your heart to the Spirit to lead you through the Word, to walk with Him. I need us to pull together and stay together and have each other's back, knowing we're a team. Jesus Christ is our leader. He's our captain. It's His glory we're here for. If you don't like Him, and you don't like her, and you don't like her, you don't like me, because she's with me. She's with me. He's with me. That's my team. This is my team right here. Don't mess with my team. We'll take care of my team. But don't you be coming in here and messing with us. Don't be afraid. Don't you be afraid to draw that line. Our doors are open. Our hearts are open to anybody. But don't you come in here messing with us, trying to divide us up and cause trouble. And do you know what happened when they did that? The Lord blessed them and multiplied them daily. Multitudes of people were coming. It's not going to hurt us. It's not going to hurt us. It's going to bless us. He will bless us. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank You for this day. Thank You, Lord, that You've surrounded me with a room full of people who are ready to have a dirty, messy stall that we daily clean up and clean out. So we have cattle in the barn. We can do the work of the ministry. We can follow Jesus We can take up our cross just like he did. So Lord, we know it. Sometimes it feels really good and it's glamorous, and sometimes it's not, but we're ready. We are here. We're your servants. Brooms in hand, mops in hand, ready to serve you. Build us, I pray. May your Spirit fill us and lead us. Draw us together according to your word and your Spirit, we pray. Use us. In Jesus' name, amen.